everybody, and welcome to the morning show with Preston Scott. I happen to be Preston. Great to be with you. Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. It is show 4511. Day 183 of America held hostage. Wednesday, July 21st. More on that date in just a few moments. I have an amazing selection of stories to go through today. Things to be aware of, as always. What I think is most important for you to be aware of is the big story in the press box. And, of course, that's always debatable. But, yeah, we'll get to all of that. We start with a verse of Scripture, maybe two, three, four, five. Matthew 22, 35 through 40 says, "One of them, an expert in the law, tested him," who him? Jesus, "with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" I just have to pause for just a moment and insert a commentary. I would love to just... I wonder what this guy's reaction was. At some point, maybe when Jesus was raised from the dead, but at some point, perhaps during one of the many miracles, I wonder if he thought back on his question and wondered, "I just asked the Son of God this question. What was I thinking? Oh my goodness. Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And when you think about it, what Jesus did is he took the Ten Commandments and he boiled them down to two simple admonitions. Love God. Love others. Because if you do those two things, you've taken care of the Ten Commandments. They're all right there. They're all captured by those two simple statements. And so becoming a man, a woman, a young person, a person who is a person of God, marked as a Christian, what that person, you can tell, is different. And not different in a weird way. Different as in there's something winsome about that person. There's something about them. People who are marked as Christians, I believe, have those two basic disciplines in a good place in their life. Are they perfect? No one's perfect. Jesus was it. For the rest of us, it's about, okay, can you go an hour without sinning? Yes, you can. Can you go two? Can you go three, four, five? And so the idea is to just keep challenging yourself, and when you fall short, own it. Own it. And then move on. That's what we do. But you have to take ownership of it. Two simple disciplines: loving God, loving others. Get those two straight, you got the Ten Commandments covered. Move on from there. Then your life is going to be a life that is a little salty for God, seasons the people around you, preserves good things. 10 minutes past the hour, this date in history, as we open up the American Patriots Almanac, comes up next as we roll into our Wednesday on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
sensei of sensibility. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Yes, it is. It's hump day. Good to have you with us. Charlie Strickland joins us in the third hour. We're going to talk about road rage. Some things you need to know. There are a lot of stories littering our news feeds about road rage. And it, like a lot of things, defies logic. It's just insane. People getting angry over a slight on the road to the extent that they follow somebody and commit atrocious acts of violence. There are occasions when somebody does everything possible to avoid it. Don't. It's like there's a story. Guy had a ninja bike. Someone changing lanes didn't realize the motorcyclist was there. That happens. And oftentimes, not always motorcycle riders, but oftentimes it's the fault of the motorcycle riders that weave in and out of traffic, not really following the rules and the laws on safety and distance and so forth. And they weave in and out. They create lanes of traffic that do not exist in between two lanes, and they get caught in blind spots. Now, sometimes it's the fault of drivers that are not paying attention, not checking their blind spots. They don't have their mirrors set up. And one of my pet peeves is people that don't know how to set up their rearview mirrors. You set up your rearview mirrors to pick up where your peripheral vision drops off. You set them up to catch those blind spots the best you can. However, car comes over. Oops. Sorry, didn't know the motorcyclist was there. Motorcyclist, ninja rider rides on by. Speeds on ahead, then stops his bike in the middle of the road and stops the vehicle that inadvertently came over into his lane. And the motorcycle rider starts approaching him with a gun drawn, mad. Dude in the SUV said, hey, man, put the gun away. I've got children here. He didn't. He kept coming at him with a gun. Guy in the car drew his firearm and ended the motorcyclist's life. Road rage, unchecked. So we'll talk about that with Charlie Strickland this morning in our personal defense segment. This date in history, 21st of July, 1861, Confederates win the first major land battle of the Civil War in Manassas, Virginia. 1925, in Dayton, Tennessee, the Scopes Monkey Trial, testing a law which forbade, oh, there's a good word you don't hear very much, forbade the teaching of evolution, ends with the conviction of a teacher, John Scopes. During 1944, World War II, U.S. troops land on Guam to retake it from the Japanese. 1969, Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin blast off from the lunar surface. Do you think the time spent on the moon went by really slowly? Because there was a little, I mean, they are spending the night on a someplace other than Earth. No oxygen. I mean, think about that for a second. The slightest leak in a spacesuit or in that spacecraft? Or do you think time went by like, phew, gone? I lean towards the latter because they were so busy doing stuff. And that had to be remarkable to be there, as desolate as the moon is. 1997, a restored USS Constitution Old Ironside set sail from Boston for the first time in more than 100 years. Seen that ship. And in 2011, the space shuttle program ends with the landing of Atlantis at Cape Canaveral. Seen Atlantis. That's cool, too. If you've never been to the Kennedy Space Center and seen Atlantis unveiled, oh, man, what a presentation. 16 minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart's radio station.
Minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. If you're a Milwaukee Buck fan, congratulations. Of course, I'm a Phoenix Suns fan, so, yeah. I was telling my sons that are Phoenix Suns fans. Not everybody in our family is a Phoenix. We have divided loyalties in our family. That's just, that happens. But I said, look, three of those players from Milwaukee are really good players, and they seem to be really good guys, and they just play. They don't complain. They don't whine. They don't act stupid publicly. They don't chirp on the floor. They just play, and I admire that. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is a brilliant basketball player. However, he benefited greatly from what I call the LeBron James era of basketball. You know, Michael Jordan had it. Michael Jordan got away with push-offs. Michael Jordan is an exceptional, perhaps the greatest basketball player ever. He would top my list. But he pushed off. He got away with the weak arm push-off. It was a staple in his move. And Jordan's era ushered in the era of the loose interpretation of traveling and a pivot foot in the NBA. LeBron James brought the drop a shoulder, initiate contact, and you get the foul called for you, not against you. And Giannis Antetokounmpo has parlayed that into last night. He had as many free throw attempts as the Suns as a team had. And then Phoenix just did not learn lessons from their losses in this series. Milwaukee did. They learned lessons. Phoenix did not. And so you hope that, because I really enjoy the Phoenix head coach, Monty Williams. He's a strong, devout Christian, unashamed to share his faith. He's endured tremendous personal tragedy. A great accomplishment, the season going the way that it did, from literally worst to first in the Western Conference and to the finals. But you hope they learn lessons and move on. This just made me laugh. I get that we in our English culture, not UK English, but English language culture, we, for example, my wife points out that oftentimes most Americans pronounce words that have double T's as double D's. Instead of batteries, we say batteries. We convert it to, yeah. And in the word turtle, we say turtle with a D. And we're full of words like that. Kindergarten. I mean, there's just all, I can't tell you what year it was before I realized I never went to kindergarten. And as a kid, I always thought it had something to do with, I guess when you were five, you were supposed to be planting stuff. It was a kindergarten. Years later, I learned it was a garden. Okay, kindergarten. And so, taking liberties with certain things is just part of what we do. For example, Free Britney. How do you spell Britney? Britney Spears. How do you spell it?
Britney Spears?
Yes. How do you spell Britney?
B-R-I-T-N-E-Y.
Correct. Britney. However, one poor merchant in the UK wanting to donate money to the cause and sell a few t-shirts created a free Brittany shirt.
The region in France.
Brittany.
Free Brittany.
He said he wanted to help the movement. He was donating proceeds to the cause. Thankfully, Britney Spears fans have overlooked the misspelling and have chosen to embrace it anyway and are buying the shirts. Additionally, found out that there is a region in France known as Brittany that are seeking independence from France. And so apparently the shirt's become a little popular there as well because it is spelled Brittany.
Two-purpose t-shirts.
But memo to tattoo artists, screen printers, spell check before you go to press or you go to ink. 27 minutes after the hour on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott on WFLA.
Five minutes after the hour here Wednesday on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. I'm Preston. That's Grant. Good morning. Thanks for spending time with us. We appreciate it very, very much. I don't know if you saw this. Disney's moving 2,000 jobs out of California and bringing them to Florida. Now, why would that be? First of all, Disney's one of the most woke companies in the world. Virtue signaling galore. But they still like their money.
And they don't like being shut down for a year.
There's that too. But when you add it all up, Florida is the better choice for their workers. And so they're relocating 2,000 workers out of California and bringing them to Florida. Now, if Disney can just do something about their escalating prices at the gate. But you know what? It's fair market value. People are willing to pay it. And as long as people are willing to pay it, God bless them, they can charge it. That's a free market system. The marketplace determines the cost. And as long as you can keep parks full and charge people a couple hundred dollars to enter the park, okay. What about $300? They'll pay that too? Okay. They'll just keep testing the waters till they see the number decline and revenues, profits drop. And then they'll say, okay, we've reached our max point for now. Anyway, have you been following the Texas Democrat story? They fled to D.C. They, I guess, chartered a plane, went maskless. Not that that would have mattered, because people get COVID wearing a mask anyway. And people are getting COVID even being vaccinated. We'll illustrate that. But isn't it interesting? Pelosi's folks, the White House, they all met with them, and they're all getting COVID. I just think it's interesting that Texas state Democrats, it was important for Nancy Pelosi to send one of her chief senior communications people to see him. It was important for the White House to send Kamala Harris to see him. Kamala barely got pushed into going to the border. But by golly, she went and saw the Texas Democrats. So members of the White House staff are now sick. What's interesting to me is a top aide to Pelosi, Drew Hamill, said yesterday a fully vaccinated senior spokesperson tested positive. Fully vaccinated. So we're learning that that fully vaccinated people get COVID. But we're now told, oh, but those cases are mild. Can I be honest with you? Now, I haven't had COVID.
That you know of.
Well, no, I mean.
You could have been asymptomatic.
Whatever. I certainly fit the demo of the asymptomatic person. You know, the young, virile,
yeah,
athletic type. I guess so. You're right. But, I mean, they say that, well, the vaccinated cases are, the symptoms are typically mild. I hate to tell you, if the numbers are right on COVID cases across the country, the symptoms are typically mild. Am I wrong? No, I mean, I don't think I am. Some people get sicker than others, just like there are vaccinated people that have died of COVID. I'm just saying. So that's not all that big a thing. It's just so interesting to me how the spin just keeps on spinning. They're like a washing machine on spin cycle. It's just constant. 40 minutes after the hour. Got some interesting sound for you here next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Known as Mr. Know-It-All. The Morning Show with Preston Scott. News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
I just have to back up for just one quick second. According to an agreement we made during the transition, we committed we would release information proactively. This is Jen Psaki, adding that they continue to abide by that commitment as it relates to COVID testing in the White House, right? When asked if there had been other breakthrough positive COVID cases among staffers, Psaki said there have been, but did not disclose further details. Well, now, if you're supposedly ahead of it and you're proactively releasing information, why'd you have to be asked?
If this was Kayleigh McEnany a year ago, she would have been absolutely blistered. Well, what's going on? What's up with all these positive cases? What are you doing?
You said you would be proactively telling us who was getting COVID on staff. You had to wait to be asked, and you're not forthcoming with information. And she gets a pass.
Have you seen those videos of, like, she celebrates a birthday in the White House press secretary room, and she gets like, oh, thank you so much for bringing us all cupcakes, as they're saying to Jen Psaki. And I'm just watching this video.
Psaki.
I'm sorry. When Psaki brought out cupcakes for everybody, and I'm like, this is the relationship between the White House press secretary and the media? Yeah. You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And by the way, I think Psaki is a special drink that the Japanese take from time to time.
You can go get it at your little Japanese steakhouse.
Yeah, you can have a little hit of Psaki in a shot glass. Ted Cruz on Harris Faulkner talking about the White House trying to influence what's going on Facebook, Twitter, and so forth.
The Biden administration believes in power. They want to have the power to silence you. They want to have the power to silence any criticism. I got to admit, for a politician, if you could have all your critics simply disappear and unable to criticize you, that might be pretty nice. It's contrary to the Constitution. It's contrary to the First Amendment. It's contrary to a free democracy. But the Biden administration is getting big tech to be the arm in silencing critics. And by the way, what they call misinformation very conveniently always benefits Democrats, always benefits Joe Biden. They've been wrong over and over and over again. So they got big tech, for example, to silence, to disappear, to block the New York Post for the story on Hunter Biden's laptop. Why? Because it was politically damaging to Joe Biden. We now know that story was true, but they called it misinformation. They also got big tech to block anyone suggesting that the Wuhan virus actually came from the Chinese government labs in Wuhan. It now, I think the preponderance of the evidence suggests that the virus escaped from a Chinese government lab, and yet big tech made that disappear. And one of the striking things, so it's interesting watching the Biden White House try to backstep a little bit from their statements last week, but what they have inadvertently done is they have strengthened President Donald Trump's lawsuit against big tech, against Facebook and Twitter and Google, because, look, what President Trump argues in the lawsuit is that they are violating the First Amendment by censoring Americans. The biggest argument they have in their defense is they're private companies, not the government, and the First Amendment only applies to the government. Well, there's an exception to that the Supreme Court has long recognized, which is the government can't use a private company
right.
to carry out a government policy. And here, this is what they're doing. Here, the Biden White House is asking the big tech monopolists, please silence, block, disappear any views we disagree with. And I think that's blatantly illegal. It's also an abuse of power that is really contrary to the principles that our country was built on.
Whoa! They're helping the Trump lawsuit by their actions. When Ted is in his lane, Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, he's really strong. And the Constitution, law, that's his lane. 46 minutes after the hour here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
And I live in a van down by the river.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, fellas. Here you go. Courtesy of Not the Bee. This is how it's done. Here's a cop who's approached by an alleged social media influencer. Some chick who dresses in her spandex top and short shorts and asks men to rate her. And guys, this is just so good because it illustrates that your yes to your wife is no to everybody else. And it's also kind of maybe even taken a step further as needed. Check this out.
What's your name?
Isaac.
Isaac, what do you rate me out of 10?
I'm happily married. She would not rate you.
Okay, so if you had to write me, if you didn't have a wife, come on.
That'd be a one.
A one.
It's a little desperate, that's why.
Yeah, a little desperate, that's why.
I saw that video.
That's breathtaking.
Yeah. And her face was just,
Okay. Oh, my gosh. That's, like, not supposed to happen because I'm hot. Don't you know? I'm hot. You're supposed to rate me. Well done, sir. The heading says, King material here. Men of Earth, behold a true king. And that's, he shows his wedding ring and goes, I'm married. I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking your way. Sorry, not interested. Way to go, sir. And that's such an attitude that's missing today. So guys, first of all, if you're married, this is a no-brainer. But if you're not, there's also room for you to say, come on. Quit being desperate.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it.
I thought women didn't like to be rated on a scale of like the 1 to 10 thing.
Being objectified.
Yeah, I thought that was like feminism or
well,
whatever.
And you know, there's some truth to that. I mean, I think it's dehumanizing. It's just, stop it. Stop it. So, well done. Ron DeSantis warning, and he's trying to pick a fight with the Biden administration. He's absolutely picking a fight with Joe Biden. He is correctly pointing out all of the things that Biden's doing wrong. All of them. From COVID to the border and everything in between. And he's pointing out that Texas border patrol officers, quoting, they've made over 2,000 apprehensions, over 100 felony arrests. They say almost 70% of everybody that they've interdicted said their ultimate destination was the state of Florida. If you think that having a wide open border, 1,000 miles, however far away it is, doesn't affect us here, you're wrong. And then there's this, a little add-on soundbite from U.S. Senator Ted Cruz.
They're wanting to release now essentially everybody. And given that we've been seeing consistently high rates of COVID infection from illegal immigrants, the Biden administration is contributing to the spread of this virus by releasing illegal immigrants against the law into our communities, and it's driving up the rates of COVID.
Yeah, and so it's driving up the rates of COVID because the Biden administration, first of all, they've stopped construction of the border wall. They're making it easier for these people to get into the country, and they're not checking them. They're not holding them. They're not sending them back. The numbers are growing each and every month. It's a welcome mat. And so Florida's rightly concerned. You're not just dealing with Cuba to our south, but now you're dealing with 70% of the illegals entering Texas want to come to Florida? By the way, this puts employers in a tough spot. And I'll tell you why. Because employers, you're not supposed to hire illegals. But here's the thing. Employers can't find anybody that wants to work. Help wanted signs all over. All I'll say to employers is do the right thing. Time for news. Back with more of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Wednesday, July 21st, show 4511 of the Morning Show with Preston Scott. That's Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. Did you catch that in the national news? U.S. women's soccer beaten in their first game in the Tokyo Olympics. Shut out, 3-0, the number one team in the world, willing to take a knee and divide the United States with their absurdities, loses 3-0 to the number 5 ranked team in the nation.
Sweden.
Confession. That makes me very happy. It does. I shared in a commentary just a couple of weeks ago that any team allegedly representing our country that loses and does not medal at all makes me happy. Any individual that doesn't want to represent the United States properly. And yes, properly. I don't want them to win. I don't want them to do well. I want them to not win. I want them to lose. I would rather not see the United States flag raised and have people allegedly representing us dishonor and disrespect that flag. I would rather that not happen than for the dishonoring of our nation. And the flag represents that nation. It represents us. So I am thrilled. Now, they need to follow that up with a couple more losses. So come on, girls.
Blow it.
Don't raise your game. Keep it all about yourself and your own personal pride, your own personal decisions, your own, you know, you go ahead. Make it all about you, not the country. Now, it's interesting because what I wanted to talk about was the Olympic Games. And golfer Rory McIlroy, who spends as much time living in the United States as he does anywhere else, and just a wonderful golfer. hasn't found the success that many thought he would find after winning a major in 2014, I believe it was, the PGA. But he's playing for Ireland. But this is a quote. I'm not a very patriotic guy. I'm doing it because I think it's the right thing to do, and I missed it last time. For golf to be an Olympic sport, you need your best players there, and I want to represent the game of golf more than anything else. Oh, wow. Thanks, Rory. If you're from Ireland?
He's from Northern Ireland, so is he representing, like, Ireland?
Isn't it all one thing now?
No.
It's still
Northern Ireland is still part of the UK, and the southern part of Ireland is its own independent state.
So maybe he's representing the UK, but he's not a very patriotic guy. And the golf media out there is giving him a pass. Don't do us a favor, Rory. Just stay home. To anyone that we are gonna be witnessing, if the games could still be canceled at any moment. Right now, U.S. women's soccer is begging for the games to be canceled. I mean, there are athletes that cry at the thought of representing their country. So deep runs their pride for their nation to have that honor. But he's not a very patriotic guy. I'm doing it because I think it's the right thing to do. Wow. Way to drum up support for you, pal. I'm going to juxtapose that next to a U.S. Paralympian who's chosen not to go to the games. The unbelievable story of Becca Myers next on The Morning Show.
Just when you thought you were right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
It might be upsetting to some of you that I'm laughing at the U.S. women's soccer team. There are some wonderful young ladies that play for that team that do not share the views of their teammates, but they have no choice but to go along with it. These are the teams that have taken United off of their jerseys at times. They still might, off their warm-ups, where it says just States, not United, that have turned their uniforms inside out during the playing of a national anthem because they were ashamed. I have no understanding why our Olympic committee chooses to allow people to represent this country that hate it. That defies logic. So I'm enjoying that U.S. women's soccer lost already in the Olympics, their opening match. I'm just loving it. I really am. And take their attitude, okay? Just hold on to that. They turn their jersey inside out. They don't like America. They don't like what it stands for. And they're embarrassed by this country and its flag. Okay. Hold that thought. Becca Myers is a three-time Paralympic gold medalist. She is not going and is withdrawn from the Tokyo Games. She won 3 gold medals in the Paralympic Games in Rio. She suffers, she's 26, she's a swimmer. She suffers from something called Usher syndrome. It caused her to be blind, and she has been deaf since birth. In competitions since all international meets since 2017, she has been allowed to have a personal care assistant, her mom, travel with her to help her. It would seem to make sense for Paralympians to have an assistant, wouldn't you think? because all of them are dealing with some form of disability. The United States Olympic Committee will not allow her mother to travel, instead stating that there's somebody there that will be assigned to assist her as needed. She's like, you've allowed me to travel with my own chosen personal care assistant. That would be my mother. For the last 4 years leading up to the games that I've qualified for. And now you're changing the rules. They're trying to blame it on the Olympics and COVID. It's the U.S. Paralympic Committee that's made this decision. She said, so in 2021, why as a disabled person am I still fighting for my rights? I'm speaking up for future generations of Paralympic athletes in hope that they never have to experience the pain I've been through. Enough is enough. Imagine working for 4 years, not three in the games, four because it was delayed a year, to peak, to compete again, knowing that as a Paralympian, you're dealing with a disability that is profound. Here's the real quote. I'm angry, I'm disappointed, but most of all, I'm sad to not be representing my country. And we've got these prima donna athletes over there in Tokyo right now that hate this country, and this young lady can't go. Right? Makes one angry. Want to take the United States Olympic Committee, the United States Paralympic Committee, and shake them by the scruff of their lapels. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
After the hour on the Morning Show with Preston Scott, Charlie Strickland next hour. We'll talk about road rage, what you should know about Castle Doctrine as it applies to your vehicle, as well as considerations if the worst should happen. You know, I think the note here is, just do what you can. I mean, it's road rage is a growing problem in our country, and so we're gonna talk about it on the blog page. All kinds of blogs, I mean, all kinds of stuff, but a little bit of a pleasant distraction. If you are a fan of HGTV, you know that I am. You know that I'm a huge fan of the program Hometown. Ben and Aaron Napier, love everything that they represent on that show. And last week, my wife and I went to Laurel. We made the drive. It was awesome. Downtown Laurel under construction a little bit, but you can still manage it fine. Just check out the blog. If you're fans of Hometown, if you are fans of that program on HGTV, Ben and Aaron Napier, or if you know nothing about it, check out my blog. I think you will be intrigued and really like the story of Laurel, Mississippi. I've titled the blog In Search of Ben and Aaron for very specific reasons. Did I track them down on my journey to Laurel? Was I able to use my resources as an iHeart talent? That still makes me laugh. To gain favor. Look, I have connections at Discovery. I have connections at HGTV. Was I able to parlay that into a chance meeting with Ben or Aaron or both of them? You'll have to read the blog to find out. But check it out, share it. I think it's a good read, and there's photos, and there will be more photos. I've got, it's going to be a three-part blog. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy the visit to the blog page, WFLAFM.com/Preston or 945WFLA.com/Preston. You can always write me, Preston, at iHeartRadio.com. George did. So now every billionaire is spending billions on their egos to be astronauts. It's their money. More power to them. But where's the media outcry on their carbon footprints and the horrible use of the fuels used and all of the billions that could have been spent to help those in poverty? I guess they get a pass from the media. Just like little Greta Thunberg and her family traversing the globe in private jets, helicopters being driven around in gas-guzzling SUVs once their white privileged feet hit the ground. Well done, George.
I thought Greta Thunberg didn't travel because of the carbon footprint.
And it's all of your fault. You're taking my childhood away. And it's all because of you. I cannot dream. Did I crinkle my nose enough to look mean?
I was going
to
say, you look hilarious.
Am I mean enough? Do I look scorned? Do I look angry? I try to look angry. I'm a child. And you're taking it from me.
I think that's pretty good, myself.
I was going to say, yeah, it's the Swedish-British thing going on is pretty good.
Yeah. So I've got another email here. I'll probably get to it tomorrow because I think it's interesting. It brought up that how some people receive something, other people receive it differently. And sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. Sometimes it's just life, right? I accept, as part of what I do, that there are just some people that are going to be offended by anything that I say, anything that I talk about, and there's a handful that are going to want to try to cancel instead of just going out and getting their own radio program and doing their own thing or listening to somebody else. They just want to cancel. And that comes with the territory. It's all right. But this email was interesting. It was really, it was thoughtful. And it raised, I was forced to think about something differently. And so, feel free, email me, Preston@iHeartRadio.com. Simple as that. We've got news coming up next. Then we reset the big stories in the press box, which could evolve and change as we go through the show. But we'll find out next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Someone has to say it. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Thirty-six minutes after the hour. Long into the break there. Good to have you back with us. If you're just joining us this morning, hi. If you have never joined us before, well, thanks for finding us. I think if you give us time, you'll stick around. We do our program a little differently than what is traditionally done. It's not like, everybody thinks they're an innovator. It's not. That's not what I'm really driving at. We just take a different approach to morning drive radio than what is customary. And so we approach this as an audio magazine. Because, quite honestly, I want you to listen longer than 5 or 10 minutes. I want you to circle back and check out the podcast. And I don't want you to feel like you're going to get a regurgitation of the same stories every 10 minutes. I get that that's the formatting of a lot of morning drive programming in the news talk world. Same news stories all morning long, and that's what they talk about, the same thing all morning long. We have what is called the big story in the press box. And you can consider this a listener's guide to the morning show. And that story may or may not be the big story in the news. It oftentimes isn't. It oftentimes is a story that I think you should be aware of, or that I think you ought to be thinking of this way. Because the things that we talk about on the show fall into three buckets: things you're talking about, things you will be talking about, and things that you should be talking about, should be aware of. And it can change throughout the program. But the generally, the only repetition in this show is at the bottom of each hour, where we reset the big stories in the press box. And usually, each time we reset them, they've got a little bit of a different slant on them. Not necessarily contradicting a previous thought or two, but just an expansion of, you know, the fact that vaccinated aides for Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden have tested positive for COVID. First, talk about an epic disaster. The Texas Democrats try to pull this little PR stunt to get out of voting in Texas. First, they violated the law. They have violated their duty and their responsibility. They fled the state so as to not allow a quorum to exist and for Texas to vote up or down on changing voting law, making sure that voting law is in keeping with the purpose of voting. Now, I'm one of those guys that thinks I don't understand why this is such a big deal. We have early voting in most states, 10 days, 2 weeks, including weekends, after hours. Plus, you are required to get an hour on election day to vote. I don't understand what the problem is with just going and voting in person. I think it should be very, very limited mail-in balloting, absentee balloting. There should be an excuse for it, and it should be in writing and notarized. There should be proof attached to that ballot that you're the one that sent it. But to circle back to the Texas PR stunt, they, of course, they're taking photos. And the Democrats are the maskers now. They're the ones that are pushing all these draconian mask mandates across the country. Not alone, but generally speaking. And so now you've got vaccinated people. So the story now pivots and becomes a story about, there you go, vaccinated people can get COVID. People wearing masks can get COVID. So we're circling back to what some of us said on this very radio program last March. It's a virus. You can't stop it. You can just hope to contain it. It's 40 minutes after the hour. We'll pick up there. Morning Show with Preston Scott.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Shazam.
News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Okay, more on COVID, masking, Delta variant, all of those things. The White House spinning COVID inside the White House, inside Democratic caucus, inside the Speaker's office is saying, well, these vaccinated cases typically are milder. If typically is another way of saying most of the time, then I would counter that by saying most cases of COVID are mild. In fact, one of the things that Dr. Anthony Fauci told us all summer long was the problem is that we've got so many people that are asymptomatic, i.e., they have the virus, but they don't have symptoms. I mean, out of the numbers of people that allegedly got COVID, how many of them were hospitalized? I would say that typically it doesn't require hospitalization. I think that's a fair statement. And so Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, is doing her best to spin it. Even though she bragged about being proactive in pushing out information, she had to be asked about whether other members of the White House staff have contracted COVID and would, quote, break out breakthrough cases, and she said there have been, and then moved on. She wouldn't expand on that. She's supposed to be Miss Transparent. She bragged in the next breath about proactively giving out information and that they're abiding by that commitment, but yet she had to be asked, we're hearing other people are sick. Are there? Yes, there have been. Next. Wow. Okay. Anthony Fauci supports the American Academy of Pediatrics. And God bless you if you're a pediatrician, but you know and I know that that group is a bunch of loons. Absolutely a bunch of lunatics. They believe children 3 and up ought to be masked this fall at school. Now, parents, I'm not a parent of a child anymore in the sense of a kid. Our kids are grown. They're all adults. All of them. I'm a grandparent. But if you sign up and have your kid walking around with a mask, you've lost your ever-loving mind. The exception would be some absurdity in their immune system that prevents them from filtering out and all that. But even in that setting, I would then question why you're out and about with your child. I'm going to say it again. Human beings are not meant to walk around wearing a mask. I believe that we will find, and that I believe that if they were allowed to say so without fear of losing their job, medical professionals would likely step forward and say, we are already seeing the consequence of people wearing masks for the last year in their health being compromised. You know what's interesting? The average age of death has dropped a year and a half or year and a third or whatever it is. First time since World War II that our lifespan has decreased. And it's being blamed on COVID. Now, all other causes of death apparently didn't take place last year. I'd like to posit another possibility. It's because of masks. Because we've suppressed our immune system by not allowing it to function normally. But that's just me, non-medical professional, offering my thoughts through the lens of common sense. 46 minutes after the hour. Charlie Strickland coming up in about 15 or so on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Beck program. It's time to act like Spock. Stop feeling and just use reason.
9 to noon on WFLA.
Got a note here from our listeners. Well, one of our listeners in Pennsylvania, this one in Cranberry Township, Terry wrote me, increase in teen suicide the past year, lockdown to blame? Absolutely it is. The lockdown, the mask wearing, the trauma that you place children into by forcing them to wear masks, it is inherently claustrophobic. And these same pediatricians were talking about the trauma that masks cause kids. And now they're all about masking them. I beg of you, common sense, people. Common sense.
I think one of the insulting things, too, out of the last 18 months, our health experts told us to sit inside, sit on our couches, work from home, don't exercise, you can't go to the gym, you can't go outside, don't get any sunlight, and if you do, you have to wear a mask. Conventional wisdom for eons has been, and if you're feeling a little sluggish, maybe you need to get up, get some exercise, get some fresh air, get the sunlight.
Like vitamin D, man. Vitamin sunlight. D.
Holy cow. Like, why did conventional wisdom just go out the window?
Because we are in a new era. People have divorced themselves from their innate senses of right and wrong.
Yeah.
And again, common sense. That's, you know, I go back to, I've always referred to this program as common sense amplified. I'm not claiming to be all that. I just look at life through a very specific worldview that focuses on deep anchors and common sense. And I do not believe God made us to walk around wearing a mask. He made us with an immune system that needs, to a certain extent, exposures. Any doctor will tell you, we have viruses all the time. We have bacteria in our systems all the time. Some of it's good. Some of it's not. And our body just unbelievably knows which is which. And the immune system kicks in and starts fighting those things that are not healthy for us. I'm one that believes that you can demonstrably show masks as an utter failure. And an immunologist from Canada did that on YouTube. He put on five masks. Five of them. Five of them. He's a professional doctor, an immunologist. This is his field. And he took off his glasses and he threw the masks and he fogged up his glasses. And then he went to a microscope and he pointed out, what's fogging up your glasses is called an aerosol. Those are aerosol droplets of moisture coming through the mask, five layers of your mask, and however many layers that is of each mask. And it's fogging up the glasses. And then he showed a microscopic slide of a virus and pointed out the size compared to an aerosol droplet. And he just basically said, I rest my case.
I'm convinced I haven't gotten sick because I've been at the gym, not wearing a mask. I've been following conventional wisdom.
Probably pay attention to what you eat. You probably are into the whole food nutrient thing to keep immune system boosted.
Absolutely.
Drink your orange juice. If you're feeling a little weird, take a zinc pill. Add a little zinc to the diet. That's what I've done. When I start feeling a little scratchy throat, I take a coldie, zinc pills, zinc lozenges, and off I go. One of those, and I'm feeling fine. I'm just saying. Come back. Charlie Strickland joins me next. Good morning and welcome. Hour number three of the morning show with Preston Scott, turning the page of the rundown. And I am joined here in Studio 1B by Charlie Strickland of the Talon Training Group. And of course, he and JD, along with Grant, join you on Saturdays for Talon Outdoors. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you
this morning?
I'm great, man. If I got any better, I told you. I have to do this, though. I have an obligation here because you are now a radio personality. Now it started here.
Her hair was jet black. Stop with that one. Mm. And her name was Codeine.
I don't know. I got me on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So that was Charlie's greatest hit.
Oh, I know where you're going now.
But it has been followed up.
Why did you leave me here all alone?
I searched the world over and I thought I found true love. You met another and you was gone.
Well, we try to have a good time on the show.
Man, you accomplish it so well and so easily.
We We enjoy what we do, and it is amazing how many people walk in to the store, find us in public, and go, "I listen to your show." And I never know, and I always ask, "I listen to your show," and I go, "The Saturday show?" "No, I listen to you in the morning." I said, "Well, that's not my show. That's Preston's show. We're fortunate to be guests on that show, but that spawned
the other way
show."
Around,
and then I go,
"Okay.
Hey, do you listen to our show on Saturday?" And "Well, I've listened to a couple," and I always let one. "Well, I listened to your show," and I said, "Did you listen to the episode about so and so?" "No, I didn't catch that one." "Oh, you got to go back and listen to this story." And the thing is we don't really make anything up. I mean, you know, we might turn a word here or there make it more acceptable to the public, because this stuff can't be told in its entirety. And there's a lot of laughing going on that y'all just can't hear out there in radio land, because we just can't tell you the whole story.
There's that. There's things called statutes of limitations, I'm certain, on some stories, maybe. I don't know. But that's good stuff, and it's a lot of fun to have you. And so good to see you again. Anyway, you been doing well?
Doing very well. Very well. I always love it when you send me a text, "Hey, what are we going to talk about?" And I walked in JD's office yesterday, and I sat down and looked at him, and I said, "Dude, just got the text from Preston. What are we going to talk about tomorrow?" I said, "Do you have any ideas?" And he just looked at me, and I said, "You know," the next thing you know, I came up with what we presented as an idea for today, and I got up and said, "Appreciate the help." You know, I just needed somebody to bounce it off.
There went the executive meeting.
Yeah, that was
I Googled road rage shooting, and while certainly under the category of news, and while there's certainly duplication of coverage of an individual story, there'll be 15 reports on it. In less than half a second, 807,000 results to the words "road rage shooting."
Absolutely. And the thing is, in today's society, we're becoming angrier as a society. We're becoming more divided. There's so many reasons that people's temper. But it's always been a problem. I mean, I've been involved in these things before where I've cut somebody off inadvertently. And when I was a teenager, sitting in my truck in Marianna, Florida, at a red light, and a guy walks up from behind me, reaches up, grabs me by, of course, we didn't have air conditioning in these old Jackson County pickup trucks, grabbed me by the arm, looked me in the eye, and said, "Son, if you ever do that again, I'm going to drag you out of that truck and do blah, blah, blah to you." And I reached over and put my hand on a stick, which was what I had to fight with back then. Because the gun was in the gun rack. I didn't know what was going on. Some guy jumped up and grabbed me. You know, I'm a young kid. I didn't know.
Right.
Somebody did that to me today, they'd be looking down the barrel of a gun.
Sure.
And it's not because I was angry. It would be because you just committed a crime against me, and I'm legally entitled to defend myself. So as it comes, there's two sides of a road rage incident. There's your side, and there's the other side.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the one who's angry and you approach someone else, you are the problem. Okay. So you've got to find a way to calm down, because you're just going to instigate something where you're going to have a really hard time explaining yourself later on in a court of law. And the way to do that is, quickly before the break, is to breathe. Breathe in, pause, breathe out, pause, in, pause, and out. Do that 4 or 5 times. Think peaceful thoughts and think about the jail time that you'll be serving and the greater good. Don't get out of your car. Don't approach people. Don't signal your intelligence with your middle finger. Don't do those things. You won't have these problems.
We're going to pick up right there. Charlie Strickland with me this morning. We're talking about road rage. We're going to get into, okay, what happens if you're on the receiving end of this stuff? 10 minutes after the hour in the morning show with Preston Scott.
Spin stops here. The morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
And we're back. 11 minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. Charlie Strickland with me, co-founder of the Talent Training Group. And again, go to the website, talenttraininggroup.com, and co-host Talent Outdoors, heard Saturdays on these fine radio stations. We're talking about road rage.
Right. So if you are the angry person, you've got to find a way to calm down. Just reiterating, breathe. Take a few deep breaths. Calm down, call it autogenic breathing, rescue breathing, recovery breathing. Hold it out. If you're nervous, you're about to do public speaking, there's so many different things you can do. Just mm-hmm. breathe slowly, bring yourself back to your center, and you'll be in a better place, and you won't be as angry.
Do mental gymnastics do any good at that point, or are people generally incapable of that at that point? As an example, kind of the thing we tell our kids sometimes in determining the importance of something, in 20 years, will this matter?
Kind of, yeah. But these are things you should be thinking about ahead of time. See, okay. You can't be prepared for an angry moment. You can't prepare for that in the moment because rational thinking and stress don't really go together.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, if I'm going to get in an argument with somebody, I'm planning these things ahead of time. If I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going into a meeting, I know it's going to be stressful, it's not going to go my way, may not go my way, I need to convince this person of something. I rehearse these conversations. If you think I'm on the phone driving down the road, I may not be. I may be rehearsing a conversation I'm about to have with somebody because I need to be able to respond. Planning ahead is the best way to do these things. So thinking about and looking at your spouse in a vehicle. I heard a story recently of a married couple driving down the road rage incident. A person approaches them. They were basically sitting in their car. One of the people in the vehicle pulled out a firearm, sat it in their lap, and the person who was approaching them saw it, angrily returned to their vehicle, called law enforcement, which is probably the right thing to do. Never should have got out of the car, never should have approached them in the first place. But you certainly don't want to argue with somebody. So here's if you are on the receiving end of a road rage incident, first off, don't pull over if you don't have to. Just, you know,
keep going and doing your
thing. Take the higher road. Throw your hand up, sort of shake your head like, I'm sorry, whatever. I don't know what I just did. Just chill out. It's okay. It's not that big a deal. It's not a battle you're going to win either anyway. Just let it go, you know. But if you are sitting in a red light, somebody approaches you, understand that if that fraud or castle doctrine says that you're authorized to use deadly force if a person is unlawfully and forcibly entering a residence, a dwelling, or occupied conveyance. That's your car. You're in basically what the law defines as your castle. You don't have to have an imminent fear of death or great bodily harm. It's presumed that you are in fear of death or great bodily harm if someone attempts to enter. So
is that reaching an arm through the window, reaching a hand to the door handle, or having something in their hand they approach the vehicle?
By definition, if they're pulling on your door handle, yep. You could technically shoot them through the window.
Right.
It would be very loud. I don't think that's the right thing to do under the circumstances, but it's better than them getting the door open and dragging you out in the street and doing harm to you. You can drive away and run over them if you have to. The fact is you need to understand that you stay in your vehicle, because in your vehicle you have a legal defense and you have a physical barrier between you and the other person. And as long as that physical barrier is there, you're fairly safe. If they approach with a gun, drive away. If they come up and if they actually get your door open, drive away. Drag them along. Do something, but you got to get away. And you're authorized to do so.
I want to give you a what-if scenario on top of that when we come back. Charlie Strickland with me from the Talon Training Group. We're talking in our personal defense segment about road rage and some do's and don'ts, some considerations for you here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com, on your phone with the iHeartRadio app, and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
Charlie Strickland with me in studio. One more segment here in our personal defense segment. We do these twice a month, and he's kind enough to come over with the Talon Training Group. And well, it's not like we have the whole training group here with us, but you get my point.
In spirit.
Yeah, together and as one. We're talking about road rage, and I hit you the what if. The what if is, you said drive away, but oftentimes traffic prevents you from being able to do that. Because normally when someone approaches you, if someone's going to approach you, it's going to be at a stoplight and you're trapped by traffic.
Yes. Well, just when I say drive, people, you cannot win a road rage argument and incident. It's going to escalate. You're almost never going to de-escalate. The only thing you can do to de-escalate this situation is just throw your hands up at them, look at them, and go, dude, stuff happens. Sorry. And move on. It doesn't change your life. It's going to change it for the negative if you engage. I don't preach violence. I do preach reactionary violence. If someone presents violence to you, you may have to use violence to fight. Now, so if somebody is trying to break the window or is trying to drag you out of your car or doing something beyond just pulling on your door handle or banging on the window, and you feel the need and you can't drive away,
right?
You know, if they're armed, you feel like they're legally, if they're attempting to enter, you could utilize deadly force in defense of yourself or your family. You can show force. You can show a gun. You can, you know, it's better if you don't point it at them because, you know, technically that's an aggravated assault, although it's justified. But there's an argument that comes in there to where you've got less of a leg to stand on. Just saying, you know, pulling out a holster gun, sitting in your seat next to you and go, you need to go away now, something like that, and be forceful with your language. I'm sorry it happened. Leave me alone. Go away. But if you feel the need to utilize, you can't drive away, you're trapped in, and you feel the need to utilize deadly force, you need to be thinking about angles because there may be a car. If you're blocked in, technically there's a car next to you or there's somebody around you. You've got a limited field of fire if you needed to utilize a firearm, and that is, you know, an upward angle. If you're sitting in the car and you're shooting upwards towards somebody standing at the window, is a safer avenue for you to
shoot.
Does
glass on a windshield on your car window present a deflection?
Might be some deflection through the side, but not enough at that distance to matter. If they're, I think looking down the barrel of your pistol is probably going to resolve the situation at some point, but if you are in your vehicle, you're going to have a 10 times easier ability in court or talking to the law enforcement officer who arrives to justify your actions. I was in my car. He was trying to get in my car and I had a gun versus I got out of the car and then it escalated to some violent situation.
Is that where you call 911 as they're approaching, as you see someone approaching your vehicle, you're
absolutely
on the phone?
You call for, and you can hold a phone in your hand, call 911, show them the phone. I'm calling the police. And that's going to, 9 times out of 10, they're going to go, well, all right, we're done. And that's going to be the end of it. Now, there's two ways as a cop in my career, there's two ways I would handle a call. If I went to a situation and I responded to the complainant, the person who called, I'm going to listen to their story. And the other person typically becomes the suspect in the incident. The other one is if I respond to the person who I was notified was the suspect in a case like this, I'm going to treat them completely different. A lot of times the person that I would respond to thinking they were the suspect was in fact the victim. They just didn't call us first, or they didn't call us at all. So my advice is, if you are in one of these situations, call the police and let them know what happened. Call 911, police, sheriff, whoever the appropriate agency is, tell them what happened. Doesn't take a lot of time if they want to respond and talk to you. At least you're on record as having said, this occurred and I feel like I'm the victim of something that occurred here. You don't want somebody knocking on your door 4 hours later going, is your name so-and-so? Is this car registered to you? Do you own a firearm? Was a firearm in the car? Well, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, blah, blah, blah. We all know the rest. You're now a suspect. And anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. You don't want that. You want to be the complainant. You want to be the person calling. And don't feel like it's too small to call because you don't know what that other person saw. They call and they say, this person purposefully ran me off the road. And then they threatened me. That's you know, those are fighting words right there.
Yeah.
You be the one.
You have 10 more minutes?
Sure.
All right. Because I can feel the email. And the email is going to be, okay, talk to me about my protocols about having my firearm in my vehicle with me. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to talk about that next as well. Charlie Strickland sticking around a few more minutes here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
bonus time. It's Charlie Strickland. Talon Training Group and Talon Outdoors on the weekends. We're in our personal defense segment. We're going overtime.
I feel like it's the penalty box.
It's funny. Some people do feel that way about being here. You had mentioned a scenario early on when we were talking about road rage incidents of somebody that had a firearm sitting on their lap in their vehicle. Let's talk about firearms in the car and the various issues that arise from that.
Well, the only way you can carry a firearm in a car in the state of Florida, on your person, wearing it in a holster, on your person, is if you have a concealed carry permit. But you can transport a firearm, a loaded firearm, doesn't have to be unloaded, or there's no three moves, there's none of that old wives' tales thing. You know,
right.
It's not that. Florida law says that it can be carried, transported in a motor vehicle in the state of Florida as long as it is securely encased and not otherwise accessible. And securely encased, and it specifically defines in a glove compartment, in a console with a lid, it zipped in a case, holster, snapped holster, secured holster.
Even a box.
You could put it in a shoebox and put the lid on the shoebox and set it in a seat over there. That is, by Florida statute, that is secured. A lot, you see these mounts where people have magnet mounts under their dash and they'll just stick the gun onto the mag. That's not. You need to be very, very cautious about that in Florida.
That's for someone without a concealed carry. What about somebody with a concealed carry?
Well, with a concealed carry, you can have it on your person. And I don't think anybody's going to give you a hard time about that particular type of holster if you got a concealed carry permit. You're transporting a gun in your vehicle.
Right.
I mean, the fact is if you have a permit, you don't have a permit, there's different ways to do it. Now, as it relates to utilizing the firearm, the transitioning from a holster to your hand in a potential threatening situation, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, because by Florida statute, Castle Doctrine applies to your home and your motor vehicle if you're in it. Okay. So when you are in, if you're standing in your living room with a gun in your hand down by your side, you're not pointing at anybody when you answer the door, you're perfectly within your right to do so. You don't know who that is. Somebody approaches your vehicle in a threatening manner and you pull a gun out of the glove compartment, hold it in your hand down by your side in case you need it. That's no different than doing it in your home, unless you start pointing it at people. Now, you're driving down the road and you're mad at somebody and you pull a gun out and show it to them,
that's a no-no.
That's not legal, but you're not doing that. You're not recklessly displaying a firearm. You're not threatening. You're not doing it in a threatening or intimidating fashion. What you're doing is you are putting it down where nobody from another vehicle would normally notice it. You know, you're not recklessly displaying it. You're not threatening anybody, but you are prepared to take action. So if somebody's coming up there and they're potentially, now, if this is something you do, you'd need to notify law enforcement and say, listen, this is what happened. If you're the person reporting this, you're going to be okay. If you're not the person reporting this, then the other story gets told first. Somebody cut me off in traffic. I went up there to see if they were okay, and they pulled a gun on me. That's a completely different story. So if you do have to call law enforcement, or you are involved in these, and I encourage you to call law enforcement, keep in mind, the first cop on scene has no idea if you are the bad guy or the good guy.
Right.
And you may or may not be the one. Just because you called doesn't make you that. That's just a perception. When I would show up to a call in a law enforcement situation, I would get out, I would approach, and if someone came towards me looking angry, like road rage incident, I pull up and they jump out of their car and start walking towards me, there's a good chance they're going to be put face down on the ground with a gun pointed at them, because I don't know, I'm coming to a call of someone with a gun at this place with these vehicles involved, and you're going through three or four people to get that information to me. So if you stay in your vehicle, stay in it. If you're mad, stay in it. If you're the victim, stay in it when you call. Don't get out of it until law enforcement shows up.
Yeah, because, I mean,
and then do it when they tell you to.
I mean, walking up to someone's home and their doorstep, that's somewhat routine. Mm-hmm. Walking up to someone's car in the middle of the road is not.
No.
And if you're the walker, you've lost a little bit of your argument just by being out of your vehicle, haven't you?
Yeah, you got a horn. Feel free to blow the horn. You know,
we got a few more minutes
in your car.
We got a few more minutes with Charlie. We'll pick up right there next on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
significant weather on the tens and the truth all the time. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
And we're back.
Charlie Strickland with me for the talent training group. And our final segment here in our personal defense segment, where we are talking about specifically road rage. And we've talked through a lot of scenarios. I was just kind of talking. You're in a much better position in your car than the person is going to be if it ends up in front of a judge having to explain getting out of his car and approaching somebody's vehicle.
Right, right. And just a sidebar real quick, traffic crashes. A lot of times people can get very angry when they get out of their car on a traffic crash. Honestly, getting out of your car in a traffic crash really should be because you're checking on the welfare of another person, not because you're going up to give the other person a piece of your mind, because that's just basically a road rage incident with vehicular damage at that point. So, yeah, things can get out of hand there too. You know, you see people roll around fist fighting. Yeah, it's a little struggle now and then. It's not bad for society. See, people can still fight without killing each other, but at the same time,
it escalates.
Somebody's
quickly
going to jail. And so it's critical that you don't break the law. If you break the law and you're using a firearm and you're breaking the law, it's going to become a felony, and you're probably going to lose your right to possess a firearm, not to mention all the attorney's fees and everything else. So no matter what somebody does to you out on the side, driving down the road, you know what? Yell and curse in your car and do whatever you do. I mean, a lot of people just drive around and do that anyway. They're just, you know, angry at and people do stupid stuff on the road, and you're not going to stop it.
Yeah.
So you want to yell and curse in your car, that's fine. Just don't go cut them off. There's no one-upmanship. You know, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. You know, I just, it's a struggle. I drive on the interstate every day, and people just cut me off. And then next thing you know, they're in traffic, and my cruise is set, and I'm driving past them. I'm looking at them going, you stupid, and whatever. But it's, you know, I don't flip them off, and I don't swerve towards them. I don't do, you just don't do that. There's things you don't do. Now, if you ended up having to use a firearm from inside your motor vehicle, there are considerations. It's going to be loud because you've got an explosion going off in a controlled environment. You're probably going to suffer some hearing loss, whether you open the window or not. I've shot from inside vehicles in training situations before. It's loud. Shooting inside a home is loud. Inside anything that's confined is loud. If you're the one pulling the trigger, you may not hear it because of critical incident stress. But the fact is, you may still suffer some hearing damage, but it's better than being hurt in other ways. I'm right-handed. You discussed this on the break. You know, you shoot left-handed, I shoot right-handed. As a right-handed person in a motor vehicle, I'm at an advantage because my right hand is to the center of the vehicle in the continental United States, and I can turn and point it any way I want to. If you're left-handed, obviously it's hard with your arm crammed up against the window there. So you might need to consider one of your shooting drills might be sitting in a chair. This is how I would train to shoot from a motor vehicle, would be to take a chair to the range, set it down, turn it 90 degrees one direction, and draw my pistol and shoot it 90 degrees to my left, and then turn the chair the other way. Works really good at the Talon range because you can do this because you've got piles of dirt on both sides.
Yep.
We're set up perfectly for this type of training.
And
that's my shameless plug.
Well, and it's individual bays where you don't have to worry about looking silly.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to get on a shared bay and do this.
Nope.
The person next to you wouldn't appreciate it.
Nope.
So, but you can do it, turn the other way, and also consider that someone's on your passenger side and you needed to use the gun there, keeping in mind that your passenger might not appreciate the gun going off in their face. So you may want to talk to your spouse. If this ever occurs, this is what we need you to do. You know, if this person approaches and
you're hitting full recline
and I get the
gun
chair out, you recline that chair and put your hands over your ears and what, you know. So think about the scenarios. Think about what you might do. Come to the range. Practice them. Technically, you can shoot from your car at the range if you want to do that, but talk to the staff because
they might look at that.
I've seen cops put creases in their car hoods with rifles training, you know. Even professionals can mess that one up. So be very, very cautious. Get with us. We can talk to you about some ideas.
Thanks so much.
No problem.
Don't forget Charlie, JD, and Grant on Saturdays with Talon Outdoors. And the TalonTrainingGroup.com is the website for the best training. Charlie Strickland with me on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Final segment of the radio program, courtesy of the Babylon Bee. A list of 10 great jobs you can get with a $100,000 degree. Garbage man assistant, minimum wage plus all the garbage you can keep. Debt collector for other in-debt college students, 10% of what you collect minus brass knuckle costs. Mary Kay, double diamond assistant to the regional sales boss, babe. Estimated $12 billion a month.
$12 billion.
The guy who touches the wire for the electrician to see if it's still alive. Number five, games journalist. Whatever CD Project Red will pay you to say Cyberpunk was good. Amazon warehouse pee bottle cleaner. Ooh. You can take the extra bottles to a recycling center and turn them in for cold, hard cash on top of your pay. There's Biden's official food chewer.
Oh.
And as bonus, you get unlimited hair sniffs.
Oh, look at that. You get a sweet deal with that one.
You can, for your $100,000 college degree, you can be a citizen of Portland. You can be a youth pastor. Free pizza, and you get to use the church card at Forever 21. Some other headlines. Dangerous anti-science extremists hold super spreader event in D.C. And there's a photo of the Democrats,
Yeah.
Desperate humanity sends robot back to 2004 to stop Mark Zuckerberg from ever inventing Facebook.
Ooh.
Pharaoh blames plague of locusts, water turning to blood on climate change. Ben and Jerry's introduces fun new flavor. Push the Jews into the sea salt and caramel.
Oh.
He's literally killing people. Biden orders arrest of mass murderer Tom from MySpace. Op-ed, to convince the unvaccinated, we need to scream at them that they're brainwashed morons and we hope they die.
Yeah, that'll work.
So there's some headlines.
Oh, there's one more. I saw it from yesterday. Space returns suspicious Amazon package to Earth.
Planned Parenthood relieved after learning Biden's "they're killing people" statement was just referring to Facebook.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's The Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. Let's see. You got vaccinated members of the Pelosi and Biden staffs contracting COVID. Huh. Jen Psaki confirms more breakthrough COVID cases after having to be asked, even though she said that in the same press conference, according to an agreement we made during the transition, we committed we would release information proactively. Of course, they didn't. Had to be asked, and then gave virtually no information. Anthony Fauci supporting three-year-olds and older getting masks for the school year. Parents. Ted Cruz, it's blatantly illegal for the White House to work with Facebook on misinformation. He went on to say that they are, in fact, giving President Donald Trump a better legal standing because the Supreme Court has already ruled that the federal government may not use a private entity to engage in restrictions of First Amendment speech. Retailers stuck with 10,000 misspelled Free Britney shirts. Spelled Brittany, B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y. Governor Ron DeSantis worried about immigrants coming to Florida because he's been told by immigration officials on the Texas border agents that 70% of those that are being intercepted claim their final destination is the Sunshine State. And U.S. women's soccer loses its first match in the Olympics. Well done.